This is Josh Beckelheimer, and you are listening to the Blah 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 podcast, because I don't know what to call this podcast. I don't know if I should keep it JB Publishing, since technically I guess I'm publishing a podcast, or should I rename it? But my issue with that is, will it mess up all my iTunes stuff, how people can find me? I don't know. But so right now, you're just listening to me. Before we get to the main topic of campaign settings, I did receive a couple of call-ins from Jason of Nerds RPG Variety Cast. So let's get those going.
Hey Josh, Jason here, Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Listen to your first two episodes. I waited actually because I wasn't sure what Tim Schwartz was going to say. I actually like adventures like you're talking about. I can go either way. I don't like anything that requires me to page through a book while I'm running a game. If I have a cheat sheet in front of me, and like your one-page thing would work for that, great. But I definitely don't want to be paging through books. I want to be looking at a character sheet, maybe looking at a cheat sheet, and looking at the players. And that's about it. The only thing I do like that you don't, apparently, are maps. I do like maps. I'm not a great mapper. I'm surprised Tim didn't bring this up, because he's kind of into maps. But the... Yeah, to me, I think maps are important to provide, and you know, you as a GM can ignore any maps that are provided, but I think a lot of players do depend on those maps because they're not confident in their skills to make their own maps, and especially virtual tabletops, although, hold on, two-part message. I will readily admit you do not need maps to run a game at all. You can easily run a game without a map. I mean, it helps if you as a GM have something. If you're doing something that's kind of complicated, then it helps the GM to have something there. And the players, I find, even so when I run games of Roll20, a lot of times I'll do Theater of the Mind, and I'll just throw up a background image to give people something to think about. And sometimes I'll throw up a background image, you know, that's a tower or a castle or, you know, a house or something. And players invariably start clicking on, you know, pinging the map and showing, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Players really want to see a map, and they really want that display. And so for those of us that aren't great at making our own maps, you know, I think including a map is helpful for that. But overall, enjoying your podcast. I'm looking forward to hearing you convert the Temple Elemental Evil.
Yes, the no map situation on my one-page adventures has always been the biggest complaint. And you can go back and listen to older episodes of me explaining why I don't use the maps. But it's pretty much for every gaming group is different. Some people can play for 3 hours at a time. Others can play for 12 hours at a time. And I feel that if you produce a map in an adventure, it constricts the GM to stay within those maps. Yes, you can change it. Yes, you can not use it. But I find that it's harder to have a map and then either add on or take away. So, like, the one-page adventures are designed to be one-session plays. So if I provide a map, it could either be too short of an adventure or too long for an adventure. And to disappoint you, Jason, I haven't done anything else, really, with Temple of Elemental Evil except for one-page adventure that's about Hamlet and an adventure that happens in there. I didn't move further along with that because that's whenever I started getting with the Lone Bards, working on, you know, other projects that just weren't for my own personal fun stuff. So sorry to disappoint you, buddy. So on to today's topic, which is campaign settings. Last episode, I posed the question, what makes a good campaign setting and what makes a bad campaign setting? I also asked this question on various social media sites, and I got comments on both what makes them good, what makes them bad, and I got personal information of what people would want to see and don't want to see in campaign settings, and even examples of products that are good settings and what an example of a bad setting is. I also got call-ins from Jason again, so let's first head to Jason's call-ins and see what he has to say.
Hey Josh, Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast here. Well, I'm sorry you took down all your one-page adventures. I never got to download any of them. That makes me sad. So, for the Campaign setting. What makes good campaign setting? Well, obviously you need a campaign, but I think you're doing a zine, so you do a one-page outline of the campaign. You also do a page that is bullet points or paragraphs of other possible ventures in that setting. So two pages are gone, one to your campaign. You could even do two pages of that, but that's up to you. And then one to other possible ventures. Or again, you could do two pages to that. I don't know how long your zine is going to be. And I'm coming up to a minute, so I'll call back in a second. Because we're talking to zine, obviously your space is limited. So you're going to want to, I would still include a map. I mean, you like to draw, so definitely have a map. Have a basic outline of your political structure. Again, no more than a page for that. And you like to draw, so I would throw some art in there. Draw a picture of the leader, a picture of your major personalities. You could do that. Again, though, in a zine, you're tying up a lot of space doing that. But definitely a map, a two-page spread, like in the center of the zine, is pretty extravagant. So I don't know if you want to do that for your map, or you do like the inside of the back cover as your map, or the inside of the front cover as the map, right? Or you do the cover as the map, and they have to tear the zine apart to get to the map. There you go. That's kind of interesting. I don't know that I recommend that approach, though. So without trying to guess the page counts, because I have no idea how long this thing is going to be, let's just say you need a quick overview saying this is what this campaign setting is. You need to, if it's something that's applicable, then obviously you're going to cover your quick political things, your countries, your area. You need your map. You need your plot, your bullet points for new adventure, for mini adventures, or, you know, one session, two session adventures. You need at least an outline of a campaign and maybe some unique flora and fauna to that campaign setting. Unique things to that campaign setting. Whether it's special classes in that campaign setting, whether it's special demi-humans in the campaign setting, whatever it is, you do need to include some things that, why I'm using that campaign setting, what makes it stand out. So those are kind of my off-the-cuff ideas after being crushed by the No More One Pages.
First, I want to mention that my one-page adventures are still available. They're just not on DriveThruRPG. So if you really want them, just contact me and I'll send them to you. I have this PDF file that has them all together. It's not made well. It's just thrown in there with some little extra information here and there. But if you really want my one-page adventures, just contact me and I'll give them to you. Anyways, to get to Jason's comments, currently what I am working on is the map. Drawing that out, it's going to be in color, I do know that. I'm just still doing all the inking and right now working on all the icons, like little town icons, docks, key features that may or may not even be named. Just something that the GM will see on the map and be like, ooh, what can I do with that location? Now, he was talking about placement of the map, and I already have the idea of putting the map as the inside cover page to the zine. But I contacted the printers. What they cannot do is leave the cover, you know, not attached to the rest of the zine. But what I'm going to do is have a separate print made for the cover, the front and back cover, and with the inside map. And it's going to fold over the zine, much like the older modules where you remove the cover. Inside is all the dungeon maps or whatever you need. It's going to be that kind of setup. So front and back cover will be in color. Then the interior of where the map was will also be in color. And then the actual zine itself will probably just be black and white, which I think is one of the requirements for the zine quest for Kickstarter anyways. So I also received some feedback on this topic, and I want to quote some of the stuff that was given to me, though there are no names involved, because I just don't know how people feel about having their name on a podcast, being called out. So, and plus, their names don't really matter who said what. One person here said, opportunity for players to really make a difference. And I think that's important because, I mean, you want, for me, a campaign setting is an open world where each game group is going to have a completely different story instead of a module or an adventure where everyone pretty much has the same storyline. There might be some variations here and there, but you don't truly make a huge impact on the world or the adventure because it's set in stone of what kind of really happens when the players are involved. And then there's another one here that says, less focus on all the history that it has and more on what can happen and how the players can interact with it. Which I think is a valid point. Who cares about all the crazy lore, all the history of this campaign setting? Now, some people love it. Some people love digging deep into the lore of a world. But at the end of the day, does it truly matter? I mean, does what happened 200 years ago in a game setting really matter to what's happening now with the players? Sure, an old enemy from thousands of years ago can reemerge, but does it need to be in detail that enemy was locked up for years and years and years? No, that can be something that the GM creates and says, hey, this thing was trapped thousands of years ago, and it's still their own thing in the same campaign setting that everyone else would be playing, but again, it's just a different story being told. And then this one's pretty funny. It's in all caps, and all it says is, no dinosaurs. Which, okay, I can kind of see, but at the same time, what if you want dinosaurs? Or what if you want the monster that I drew that kind of looks like a T-Rex with these crazy tentacles and a mouth under its belly and a crazy head on its tail? I mean, I guess I'm going to have to just throw out that piece of work since no dinosaurs should be in a campaign setting. And this last one is, it should be such that out-of-character knowledge has little bearing if a player read the book. I really want to focus on that last comment, because how do you find the balance between too much information and not enough information? I mean, that person's right. You need to have it to where anyone can pick up the book and read it, and it does not matter if you're the GM or if you're the player. Nothing is spoiled. I guess the key is having information that all player characters would know. Things like towns, cities, mining locations, factions, you know, who's who, rulers, even wars that are going on. But I think then what happens is people start to put too much information, too much lore that is kind of forced into canon. So, for example, even if you look at Wizards of the Coast, Curse of Strahd, as a player, you might want to know what Ravenloft is, especially if you're getting into the game only as a 5e player. That's all you've ever played. So you can't really go get Curse of Strahd, read the book to get, you know, campaign setting information without spoiling the entire adventure. It's set up in a way to where if you read this part of the section, it has information on the adventure. There's nothing really separate from campaign and adventure. So I guess with that, what would you put in the book? Whenever I saw that comment, I was thinking more along the lines of, you have the core information that every player character would know. And then maybe you have a bunch of different tables and toolkits for whoever is running the game in that campaign to where they can roll on a bunch of tables, figure out what's happening, how the world is changing, what's different. And mainly, I just recently got into the Black Hack 2nd Edition. And the back of that is all GM information. And it's literally just a bunch of different tables you roll on. So where you create the map, the town, the adventure, the dungeon, literally everything, just in a series of dice rolls. But I think it's hard to pinpoint too much information and then too little information. Or maybe not. Maybe too little is better than too much. Because it's got to be easier to build upon and then be like, oh, you can't read that part because that character is very key to this item over here or this location over here. The next episode, I want to talk about the physical copy of a campaign setting. What size it should be, how it's bounded, the type of paper it's printed on, that kind of stuff. Now, if you have any comments or questions about this episode or the topic for next episode, you can send me a voice message on the Anchor app, or you can go to anchor.fm, search JB Publishing. You can leave me a voice message, and I'm pretty sure I'll play it on the next episode. Or you can find me on Facebook, pretty easy, Josh Beckelheimer, or The Lone Bards on Facebook. You can also email me at thelonebards@gmail.com. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to listening to your comments and questions.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.